And the whole thing centers around these two passages, Colossians 5 and Ephesians 6:18-20. And you can see that there, I've got seven different things listed here in those two passages where they're both the same. Paul was saying the same thing to both groups, even though they were written at different times. I've always thought that Colossians was written last, after Ephesians, maybe a year later. I thought Colossians and Philemon were written at the same time, because he talks about fulfilling the word in Colossians. But the one thing I'm real sure about is they weren't written exactly the same time, but Paul still had the same message with minor differences. Like he says, pray also for us. And over here he says, praying for all saints and for us. Here he says, you know, just a couple of minor things here, but we'll get to that. But the whole question of this is, why did Paul ask for a door of utterance? And that he might speak boldly down here. Because we're going to see up here in Acts, there's these three passages I want to go through. We can get a real good idea. As Paul grew, even through these three passages, we can see Paul increasing in strength as he goes through his ministry. And with that, let's start out in Acts chapter 9. And you remember that that's where he was first converted. And it's been called by many the biggest miracle, biggest conversion miracle ever. And it's probably fairly accurate to say that, because of Paul knew Old Testament scripture at this point quite well. He had already sat under the feet of Gamaliel since he was a young child. And in verse 9:1 of Acts it says, "And yet Paul and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." So we already see that why this would be such a strange thing, that some man like this, who was raised as strict as sect of the Jews, could come out and say the things he's going to say here. But if we go on down to verse 15, you see Ananias. He had just told Ananias that, "I've chosen Paul," but the Lord said unto him in verse 15, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So here we see that that he would be the apostle to the nations. And remember that this book is called the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of Jesus Christ through the apostles, and Paul being one also. And he told them, "I'm an apostle and I magnify my office," when we get into some of the books written in Acts, written during the first seven books that were written during Acts. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Now in every one of these three passages, we're going to see what Paul's message was. And he had boldness in all of these cases. But in each case, the message we see is slightly more or slightly different. And it, But by the time we get through the book of Acts, we're going to see that Paul, as he says in the end, he says that I have given you the whole counsel of God. That nothing God showed me that I keep to myself. I've given you the whole counsel. And but here right away, he says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, let's work one more verse. But their lying awake was known, of Paul, of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Now notice on each of these passages, there's a message, and there's the boldness that Paul used in the message, and then there's always opposition in every case. And here we see they wanted to kill him already, just soon as he got this new ministry, right from the start. He was not scared to die. Had nothing to, his boldness, when we get down here in Colossians and Ephesians, he's not praying for boldness because he thinks he's going to die. But we'll get into that. This has to do with something more spiritual. This is things physical up here, that they can hurt the body. You can hurt you physically. But down here, it's a different thing you pray for utterance when you teach the mystery. And Nathan used to use the word ringing. When he would prepare for a message, it would, a spiritual ringing would go over his body, so to speak. And that's why this passage is so important. This is a continual thing we do. This passage, we always do this. Continue in prayer for our speakers and for those who are spreading, who are fellow members of the body of Christ, that we can all work together in this way to Christ our head. But let's keep reading here in Acts 9, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and laid him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Here's the word boldly. And we see the same word in 27 and 29. It's parizomai. And in 27, it says, preach boldly. In 29, the same word is translated, spake boldly. So he preached boldly and he spake boldly. Parizomai. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. The Grecians are the Greek-speaking Jews, as opposed to the Jews who were taken. There were Jews, if you heard Barney's lesson, there were Jews that were taken up to Babylon during the 70 years of captivity, 496 B.C. These Jews came back, but not all of them. And even to this day, there's little spots up in those areas where they're still established. I think it starts with an A, it means those beyond the river. and speaking of Euphrates, but it's up there in that area that there were, if you read Edersheim's first couple of chapters in Life and Epistles of Jesus Christ, he goes through those, you know, how they had got established in each areas like that. But this is talking about Greek-speaking Jews, the Grecians. And the word there is Hellenists. The Hellenists. But they went about this lane. So here we see conflict in every case. And then when we get down to Ephesians and Colossians, it's a different kind of a conflict, but we're going to see we have it too. Okay, then in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, and before we start in verse 26, let's turn to verse 14, Acts 13, 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And this was an ordinary thing they did in the synagogues, that people were allowed to get up and say what they wanted to say. And then we see a pretty long dissertation that Paul goes through. It says, and then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Then let's go on down to verse 26. I don't want to read all of that. He goes through Old Testament scripture, just bringing them up to date of where we are today, here in Acts chapter 13. And in verse 26, Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled, the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, and it, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And the note there for begotten thee, he says, brought thee to the birth. It literally means in the Old Testament, this day have I begotten thee in Psalms, this day have I brought thee to the birth, or this day have I resurrected you. And Paul quotes that. And then 34, and as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And the sure mercies of David are all the prophecies that were to come through the seed line of David. The holy promises of God. Those are the sure mercies of David. And let's see. Now we get. Let's see. I don't know how much to read here. So I said 26-47. Let's see. Let's see, in verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And here we have the first occurrence of this, lo, I go to the Gentiles. And it, Paul and Barnabas both said it, not just Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Here's boldness again. We just went through the message. We see each time the message gets, we see more and more of what Paul taught. But it says, and then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And let's go on down to verse 50. All of this is good reading, but we have a lot to cover yet. Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. Now, as long as you, it's like they're even, it's getting worse today than ever before. Like in, if you're in Korea and you're a missionary, your life expectancy is not very long. And the Arab nations today, no, we can't have another argument. We don't want to hear about the Bible, and it's, you know, because Christ is taught there. We don't want to confuse our people, you know, with our writings. So we'll kill you if you say any opposition to what we're saying. We don't have too much of that in this country, although that it's getting more and more persecution just to speak anything, much less the mystery. But again, as we get down into the mystery, it gets a little even more involved than just physical conflict. But here we see again Paul's boldness, his message, and the conflict. And then in Acts 19:1, we're going to read all the way through verse 10. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. In verse 9, here we see the conflict again. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before for the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And now, if you look over here, we're all in Asia. That's Acts 19:10. All in Asia. Let's read that verse. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So, during the Acts period, before the mystery, we see this verse, all in Asia heard the message. But after the mystery, in 2 Timothy 1:15, we're going to turn to that in just a few minutes, but we know Paul knew the mystery by the time he got to Timothy. By the time Timothy was written, that was outside of the book of Acts. Because in 2 Timothy 1:9, and in Titus 1:2, he talks about before age times, before chronos neonios, the time of the ages. And only three places in Scripture is that age times used. The other one is in Romans, where he talks about since age times. In Timothy and Titus, he talks about before man existed, so to speak, before age times. So this was something that pointed to the fact that, the mystery was never taught, never heard of. Before we go on, though, to this passage, I just want to read one more thing here in Acts. And it's in chapter 20, and starting in verse 17, it kind of sums up Paul's ministry in a way. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." And remember, he died often. He went through a lot of the turmoil he went through in another book. And verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go down in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." And here's this great verse. Verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And I remember when we were on our bus tour in Israel, everybody would go up to the front of the bus and she gave them the microphone. Does anybody want to say anything they want to say about how you got here or whatever you want to say? And I remember telling the story. As soon as the airplane passed from the water, I guess it would be the Mediterranean, onto the land, this whole feeling came over me. It's like the trip was already worth it and we hadn't landed yet. It was just a strange sensation. But also this verse came to mind because we were talking about all of the dangers in Israel even at that time. And I quoted part of this verse, "But none of these things moved me." I mean, at that point I really, I was in no way close to the Apostle Paul when it comes to, willing to give my life up so readily, but Paul didn't care. He says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take ye to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Here's that verse. Paul said, "I declare to you everything that the Lord gave me." Now let's turn to that verse in 2 Timothy 1:15. Now we're out of the book of Acts, and now we're into the mystery period. Thank you. should have put a sticker on it. Okay. There's one page in here that won't open up. It's the one I want. Okay. Now, if you start in verse 13 in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." So, apparently, once Paul got this new message of talking about now Christ is the head, we don't go to any leaders anymore. He is all in all. We don't need any more baptisms, and we don't speak in tongues anymore. And even the world today wants to still hold on to all of these things, legalism and all of the many different things that angelic ministries to people and things like that. Evidently, this wasn't so popular of a message. And it says that all which are in Asia be turned away from me. And up here, the Holy Spirit used them through the book of Acts, where that many believed, and many of the Asians did believe, but all of them heard the word. So, let's get down to here's the real thing that we're talking about. Colossians chapter 4, let's turn to that. And we might put our hand in that passage and in Ephesians 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 5, and Ephesians 6, 18. Okay. If you can keep your hand at both places, but let's start in Ephesians. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Here it's called the mystery of the gospel. In Colossians it's called the mystery of Christ, which tells us that those are two in the one and the same thing. But the reason I wanted to read this one in Ephesians first is because right the context here, right back here in Ephesians 6:12, says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, we've been released from the power of darkness, we know, but actually, the power of darkness today only has the power that we give them. That as long as we believe in the mystery and remember these words, there is no power over us. We're protected as we read through this passage here about the armor of God and so forth. But the spiritual wickedness is constantly there in our lives. And this is what Paul is praying down here in verse 18. "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given." Now, he wasn't afraid to die here. That's not why he wanted prayer. And some people say, well, he was in prison and he was not allowed to speak. And that's partially true too, maybe. Maybe he didn't have just free voice to everybody that came along. But for those who did come along, he wouldn't have needed to pray for boldness. Once they did come along, why would he pray for boldness? It's because of this passage right here. about the spiritual wickedness in high places. And then if you see the same sister, these are called sister books, the same passage in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. Here he's got, here he has all the saints and for us. Here we have praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Here he says, so that's one reason too, maybe Colossians was written later. Here, just pray for me. Now let's pray. It's like Paul's using this as an example for himself. Now others have joined along. Pray for us, that a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, of which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So, now, one comment on the mystery of Christ is in, if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, and verse, let's just read the first six verses. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if he have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which he had given me to you. And Oscar would say, people don't read the words here either, because the dispensation of the grace of God was given to Paul, so that he could give us the ministry of the dispensation of the mystery. During the Acts period, you could say that Israel was given a dispensation of grace for 40 years. But the dispensation of the grace of God was Paul's dispensation. We are living in what we would call a dispensation of the mystery. And in verse 3, have of revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So if you know, if you read what I told you before about the mystery, you'll understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And we've heard that this started in Genesis 3:15, where that, the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan would, all the way through, would, you know, that this was the beginning of the mystery of Christ. But you have to go back farther than that. People knew about that part. That part was not new, that Christ, in Genesis 3:15, with, you know, the seed of the woman would be in conflict all the way through. You have to go all the way back, and we see it in Ephesians 1:4. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So Christ, this is the mystery of Christ Paul is talking about even more fully. Although that's also true, that Genesis 3:15, all that has to do with Christ. But this is something new here, that now, even before Satan, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, before Satan rebelled, and he was one of God's own creations. He wasn't from the beginning. He was a creation. But even before sin existed, Christ, that's the message today that's not so popular, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So Paul expounds on the mystery, and there's I think nine different ways you can, if we look in Strong's, where it talks about the fellowship of the mystery of God, the glory of the mystery. I can't think of them all, but that's a separate study, to go through the different mysteries and which ones are subcategories perhaps of others. But Okay, so again, up here we had the message, we had the conflict, and down here we have the conflict, and we have the message. And we pray for each other that we all might have boldness. This is a continual thing. And to sum it up, once you do get into this message, you're not going to be popular with, you know, modern other people the way they believe. Once you tell them, let's get rid of all of these things in Corinthians, all of these gifts that we've been given, so to speak, and tongue talking and all of the signs, everything from Acts 2 on to Pentecostal ground and the Abrahamic covenants and things that we just want to hold on to. Our message is that we are complete in Him. He is the head of this body of which we are all members. With that, I'll close in a word. Thank you again, Lord, for this time you've given us to meet together and to learn more about you, that you might use it in our lives, that we might be used, and that we might get to know you better and better as the time goes on. And we just pray that you'll keep your hand on each one, Lord, as the days just seem to be shortening, but we know that you already have it in mind what you have for us to do. We just need to walk worthy in your calling. And go with each one. Thank you for the love through your body and through your headship that we share. We pray in Christ's name.